Well, hello there, and welcome into another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Monti, occasionally known as the mayor of PHNX. These two guys next to me holding it down while Jesse Friedman is at the winter meetings. Of course, this guy's the MVP. It's the one and only Sean DePaz. And this guy's the FOJ, the one and only Jacob. Don't do that. Jacob Franklin, what's happening? All right. Well, anyway.
I feel like we should have started the show with the all rise.
All right. All rise for the judge. Yeah. Give up. All rise in honor of his incredible.
Cut off if I rise.
Yeah, no, so I know. That's what you get for being so tall. But, of course, this show is brought to you by the fine folks at the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And Aaron Judge is America's top-rated player. This man just had the Brinks truck backed up to his house.
He had a couple Brinks trucks.
Yeah, it wasn't just good enough. One wasn't good enough. But he signs a new nine-year, $360 million deal with the New York Yankees. Apparently he's going to get that C on his chest as well, which is, for some reason, a big deal to these Yankees. But anyway, thoughts on $360 million?
Look, I mean, Aaron Judge is a factory-created Terminator of a human being. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, does he deserve a lot of money? Sure. Is he also old? Yeah.
He's old. He's old. Has he had problems with strikeouts before? Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, you're going to get some biased opinions out of him over there. Like, I think Aaron Judge is worth a lot of money.
You won't get biased opinions out of me. He's definitely worth a lot of money. I don't know if you know this about me. I grew up a Red Sox fan, but I also grew up with Derek Jeter being my favorite baseball player. Like, I game recognized game.
I didn't know both of those things could be possible.
There's a lot of Red Sox fans that have a lot of respect for Derek Jeter, but we also are the first ones to accurately point out that he's a wildly overrated player, but
absolutely
that's not what we're talking about.
But also, I agree with Marky Mark here. Yeah, the Yankees can't possibly expect that level of production for 9 years.
You can't, but you also could not let him go.
I agree with Brian Abdallah. The 29 is not old, you monster, but anyway.
It is for a guy whose entire game is predicated on his physical abilities. Like, I think he's worth it because it's a situation where you cannot let him go.
That's true.
Even if you are going to be overpaying for him 5 years, whatever down the line, it's worth it if the alternative is him going to San Francisco and turning that team into a World Series contender.
Like, is he the next Barry Bonds?
He's not going to be a San Francisco Giant.
Sure.
I mean, he is a Giant.
But is he the next Barry Bonds? Because if you tell me that he's the next Barry Bonds, I'll believe that he can produce for the next 9 years. No, just in level of production throughout his career.
Maintain the 60 home run average.
Do you think he's the next Barry Bonds?
I don't know.
So, but Barry Bonds only did it because he was doing steroids.
Right.
The only reason his career lasted that long is because he was juicing.
To be fair, you still have to hit the baseball, right? I mean, juicing 100%, all you want.
But it also, like, in terms of longevity, like, it makes it easier to recover. Like, it keeps you healthier.
Correct.
He would not have played that long. He still would have hit the baseball, but he would not have played that long if he wasn't doing steroids, right? I don't think.
Again, thank you to Cheerston for pointing out that Aaron Judge is not old.
He's old.
I hate you both. You both, not anybody.
Let's
in the chat.
Let's look at the average age of the Braves roster, shall we? And tell me all of their rookies that weren't 26 or 27 years old.
He's not old right now. He's old for a nine-year contract. But also, like, if you ask Tiger fans, do you think they care that they're still playing Miguel Cabrera? Like, probably not.
Mm-hmm. Trey Turner is going to be 40 years old when that deal expires. That's also old, right?
But the D-backs are still paying it, Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah.
He shouldn't even be in baseball.
Yeah. Madison Bumgarner's 33.
Yeah, but he's good.
Madison Bumgarner makes you think he's older than he actually is.
That's very fair. But
he really does. He's a curmudgeon. He was just born a curmudgeon.
And we talked about this yesterday because I kicked you off the show.
Yes.
Age for pitchers is very, very different than age for...
Very true.
I mean,
see Justin Verlander.
It's not a football podcast, but you're an NFL running back and you turn 29 and everyone thinks your career is
a wrap.
Over.
It's
so
a wrap for
it
you.
It is pretty... relative, I suppose.
The Yankees.
Brian, I'm 25, so I don't know how you can call me a cradle robber.
I don't know. I don't know what happened here, but that went off the rails. Now, the one thing that Aaron Judge did get offered was the $230 million 8-year deal, which last year seemed a bit more reasonable. It seems a bit more reasonable now, but he did not accept that deal, opted to go into free agency, still stays with the Yankees, and gets $130 million. More million dollars more and one extra year. So today's lesson is bet on yourself.
Yeah.
And let's take a look at that tweet that we had, by the way, because this is really what it's also all about when it comes this one. Yeah, incredible note from Tom Verducci on MLB Network. Judge's 282 pounds will be signed through his age 39 season. He'll have a chance to become just the second player to ever hit a home run at 270 pounds or more and at age 37 or higher. The other was Bartolo Colon.
See, I was went along that ride like an audio listener might, where I wasn't reading it. I was kind of just listening to you. So you're like, I was like, oh, this is pretty interesting. And then you got to the Bartolo Colon part, and I'm like, oh, fuck yes,
yes,
fuck yes,
let's go.
Bartolo. saw him pitch live, for the record, in New York. Was an electric experience. I just think that this shows how underrated Bartolo Colon was as a hitter.
The real life, shit. The real life Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, the big factor here is that Aaron Judge stays out of the NL West.
He does.
He would have also stayed out of the AL East as a reformed Red Sox fan.
But like, does it really?
But I would much rather him be a Yankee.
Okay, hang on.
But does
it really matter all that much now that the schedule's changing? Because you still have to face him,
but less than you would have.
It does in making an NL West rival better. Sure. They already have two very good teams that spent a lot of money. But I think
baseball's trending in the direction of doing conferences.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense. The entire idea of a division now is irrelevant.
Like just the leagues.
Considering how long the season is, unless you're reducing the season, there is no reason to have both this long of a season and also this infrequency of playing your own opponents, right? The NL, the reason, as much
it's,
as we
it's
hate
headed
it,
that way.
Yeah, if you play your division a lot, then you at least have the chance to either make up ground or really distance yourself from the pack, like the Dodgers have done over the last couple of years. But you know, by playing everybody else in the league, it really doesn't give you as much of an opportunity to do that.
Now, I will say, butts in seats.
Butts in seats
is important.
Yeah,
and so having him in the division for the team.
Oh yeah,
but because butts and
but also
they
like,
the town.
I hate your line of thinking, but I can't disagree with.
Also,
it.
The California teams when
they draw.
D-backs,
anyway.
Yeah, I was gonna say that D-backs don't really struggle to get butts and seats when the California team is here. I mean, the problem is what butts are in those seats. But Aaron Judge being a Giant isn't going to get more Dodger or D-backs fans in the,
seats
at that point.
Yes, it would. Well, I think more people would come just in general to see.
Yeah,
at least
I guess
the first series that they played.
We're getting really deep. We're sending the chat down the rabbit hole. The league structure has been functionally irrelevant since like 1919. We're just gonna go way back now. We're just gonna get on this tangent.
Oh yeah, let's do it. However, we still have to wait to see where Aaron Judge is going to sign, because of course MLB Twitter is relentless, and when you make a mistake like this, that's you can't make both of those mistakes.
yeah,
you can't say Aaron Judge and spell it wrong, and also say that he was headed to the wrong team.
Which one do you think he is more upset about? The fact that this misspelling has become a complete meme, or the fact that he was just blatantly wrong?
The blatantly wrong part,
probably,
by far.
Probably.
The meme does not. John Heyman has been made into a meme for years. There's nothing new about that. But again, it's both the inaccuracy of the name and also being wrong.
Derek, I feel like you're one to talk about tweets that were wrong and have been deleted.
What happened? What did
Leah, can you show them what
did
we found?
What do we have?
I don't know why people watch WWE. It's all stupid fake stunts. Hashtag
lame. Look at that.
Tweeted this morning at 10:38 a.m.
That's an awful font.
You just haven't updated your Twitter app yet.
Look, here's what I'm saying is that you guys need better Photoshop skills.
Damn, Derek. Wait, okay. No. Can we get the other one?
The Photoshop skills. It needs to be.
I have officially conceded the mayor of PHX race to Emma.
Deleted
fair and square.
How did I tweet both of these at the exact same time? You frauds!
Wow,
you guys are.
Mayor of PHNX.
Former mayor of PHNX.
Somebody needs to get mayor-elect Emma Clark
in there. Actually, your co-host has been duping you.
What?
For months now. What Derek doesn't know is that I am actually an Academy Awards voter.
This is impossible. I can't believe that this
is
a real thing.
He's seen all of the movies, Derek.
Is he just playing
all
me?
He
I feel
playing.
Like this is like what my daughter's doing with the Elf on the Shelf, isn't it? She knows it's not a thing, but she's still doing it, right?
All I'm saying is...
You guys are all gaslighting
me. That's big of you to go start making fun of, you know.
I hate you guys.
I
hate you guys so much. I hate you guys almost as much as the Chicago Cubs fans continue to hate St. Louis Cardinals because they stole Wilson Contreras.
Where is that going, Derek?
Wilson Contreras is now a St. Louis Cardinal.
Jesse knows.
Jesse says, come on, you can't have a hashtag.
All I'm saying is that.
Thank you, Jesse.
One of the people sitting at this table is a graphic design specialist, and the other one made those tweets. You can decide which one is which.
Jesse says this is blasphemous. Thank you, Jesse.
Jesse, come on here and defend yourself.
Jesse always has my back. He always has my back.
Come on here and defend yourself, Jesse.
Yeah. Why don't you come on here?
I don't think he'd have his back if I think he's only has your back because Jacob made him look like he doesn't know how to use hashtags. He's defending himself. You're just collateral.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with that. But again, Wilson Contreras signs with the St. Louis Cardinals for 5 years. The Cubs get, as their consolation prize, Cody Bellinger on a one-year deal.
But has Cody Bellinger been good since his MVP run?
That's why I'm laughing. Yes. Hey, Cubs fans, I know you're probably sad about Contreras.
Yes. Correct. I'm defending me, Derek. No. You suck. Damn, Jesse.
You're never coming back on this show, Jesse. Stay in San Diego as far as I'm concerned. There, you can find a nice spot on the beach to sleep.
Yeah, he twists his arm. Oh, you got to stay in San Diego.
No kidding. What were you saying about Contreras?
It's just like, hey, Cubs fans, you're sad about Contreras leaving? Here's a washed outfielder who's just wildly inconsistent. It's funny. I mean, like Todd says, it's difficult placing Yadi, but I feel like this is probably going to get a catcher who has done it well for a while and is also from a division rival. You get that little cherry on top of you stole this guy from a division rival.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the best way to go about replacing one of the most legendary players in your franchise's history. I feel like it's a good way to try and not win the fans over because you didn't lose anybody by.
No,
Yadi retire,
you're just infuriating your fan base. And honestly, if the Cubs don't do something more than this, I think there's going to be a mild uprising.
I will say, Belly is a good outfielder.
Sure,
has good leather. He can cover a lot of ground. So from that aspect, it's not necessarily the worst sign that they could have made. It's a 1 year deal.
But I think when you talk about from a fan's perspective specifically, like you see the name Cody Bellinger, and you're not excited because of the glove. You're excited about what his bat was at one point.
But you're still hopeful, again.
Yeah.
He's still a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To a degree, you're hopeful that he can get back to where he was at. And maybe the change of scenery is the perfect opportunity for him to do so. Who knows? The Giants get their consolation prize for not winning the Aaron Judge sweepstakes in Mitch Haniger.
A little better of a consolation prize than Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, again, not
old friend alert.
Old friend alert for sure. But the hot stove stays white hot right now because all these things are happening. And of course, we're going to have Giant Blurry Jesse on here.
You missed a perfect transition to him. Like, you know what else is white hot?
What's that?
Jesse
Friedman.
He's more white and hot.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. See, look, you guys made that happen. Woo! Anyway, make sure if you haven't done so already, go to gophnx.com. Check out Jesse's recent articles, everything he's covering on the winter meetings, and also get yourself a membership. Become a PHNX diehard. Get yourself not only one of these sweet-ass hats or T-shirts, but also 20% off all the merch over at phnxlocker.com. Get yourself the members-only Discord lounge, as well as access to all of our events. All sorts of fun stuff. So make sure to become a member. Get access to Jesse's diehard only newsletter as well, which he will be having some new one of those drop very soon. So thank you guys already for being here. We appreciate everyone that's here in the chat. If you haven't done so already, make sure to subscribe to the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss whenever we go live. If you're listening to us right now on your favorite audio podcasting app, please subscribe to us there. Leave us a review. We appreciate you for doing so. I got two new guys that you can give 5-star reviews for. So if you don't think I deserve it, one of these dudes.
Can I give you a 5-star at the end of the show?
Yeah. What?
What'd you say?
Can I give you a 5-star at the end of the show?
I don't know.
No.
I knew I could count on you. See, that's why you're the MVP. Anyway, that's why you're not the MVP.
Yeah.
But,
why he's Jesse's MVP. Yeah. No, that was Max. Never mind.
Huh? Yeah,
nobody's MVP.
You were nothing.
MVP, but right now, Jesse is the MVP because he is coming into us from the winter meeting.
Crystal clear, Jesse.
Once again, this is not
giant blurry. Jesse is dead and clear, white hot Jesse has killed
white hot Jesse. Let's go. What's happening, buddy?
So it turns out that the Wi-Fi that I was given on day two of the winter meetings was not the best Wi-Fi network that was available to the media.
You don't say.
I'm not sure exactly how I didn't get the password for the superior Wi-Fi network, but yesterday I came across said password, and we're in a much better spot today. So
looking great.
Glad it worked out. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Jesse, we need to know what happened to Mike Fitzgerald. Is he okay?
Yeah, you know, Mike is, you know, he might have some need for therapy, you know, over the next couple of weeks. he didn't have the opportunity to rip open the shirt as he was hoping to. The Arizona Diamondbacks, of course, fell one spot from their most likely position in the MLB draft lottery. But as was pointed out yesterday by our PHNX Suns Twitter account, this is just like the ushering in to, you know, the world of draft lotteries as an Arizona sports scene.
Yep. Like,
this
is just welcome. Welcome to the darkness.
Expect if you are an Arizona sports team. And so yesterday just confirmed that the Diamondbacks do not exist outside of that, and that the bad luck of Arizona sports teams in the draft lottery also seems to apply to them.
Jesse, who popped more bottles of champagne yesterday, the Minnesota Twins or the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Honestly, I think it'd have to be the Minnesota Twins, at least in my book.
Yeah.
I know the Pirates got the number one overall pick, but the Minnesota Twins had a 1.7% chance of moving up to number five. Their most likely selection spot, I believe, was number 13.
13th, yeah.
So the chances of the Minnesota Twins moving to number five was about the same as the chances of the Diamondbacks getting the first overall pick. So that was like an enormous jackpot for them in that way. But granted, I mean, getting the number one overall pick, I guess, is the biggest prize in a draft lottery. So Pirates fans are probably feeling okay about that as well.
The draft lottery was fun to watch, especially once teams like the Twins and the Texas Rangers started hanging around and getting into the top six when they shouldn't have been there at all. Seeing where they go, how, you know, what position they get and everything like that. So that ended up being, in my opinion, a really successful event. However, I did not need every single representative for every team to be introduced. No offense to those people. They are great human beings, and I'm sure they do a lot for their organizations. But that took a little bit of a process, or a little long when it came to that process. The Oakland A's, Jesse. Why do the baseball gods hate the Oakland A's?
Because they're the Oakland A's.
Yeah. I mean, it's just awful.
Vegas A's aren't getting screwed like this.
The Oakland A's just, I don't know. I mean, they just don't have a whole lot going for that franchise right now as a whole, between their ballpark situation and now, you know, kind of getting snubbed in the draft lottery. So things across the board for the Oakland A's have been better. It's sort of been a rough few years for that organization all the way around.
Does that mean we're getting Sean Murphy today, Jesse?
I'm not sure if that has any implications for Sean Murphy. Maybe the A's front office, you know, because they're angry about what happened in the draft lottery, they're going to make some impulse trade decision. I don't necessarily anticipate that. Mike Hazen, of course, he couldn't talk about Sean Murphy in particular last night, not by name, but he did say that, you know, nothing is close. I wouldn't expect, if the Diamondbacks do ultimately land Sean Murphy from the A's, I don't think that's going to happen here at the winter meetings, or honestly, even here in the next few days. I think it's probably something that will drag out for a while. And frankly, that's been a trend like around all of baseball. Like, we've started to see the hot stove heat up in a big way, especially today, as far as the free agent market is concerned. But the trade market is just dead. Like, there have been zero significant trades made so far at the winter meetings. I think the Rockies swapped like a minor leaguer or something last night or early this morning. But outside of that, I mean, there's really been like no action in the trade market whatsoever. So yeah, if the D-backs are going to get a Sean Murphy or you know, some other big name guy in exchange for one of their outfielders, probably going to be a while before that ultimately happens.
Realistically, I don't know if this is actually how it happens, so I'm curious if you have any insight into this. But do the executives get together at the winter meetings and actually start discussing these trades, or is that like against some sort of CBA, or is there some other route that they have to go? Like, how do the winter meetings help kind of engage this trade market that we have seen be somewhat non-existent?
Yeah, it's funny. Mike Hazen said that, you know, just given the advances in technology and the fact that everyone uses their phones to communicate, it's actually like kind of funny the way that these negotiations work. Like there might be team personnel, you know, like three doors down the hallway, but you're not going to walk over there and talk to them in person. You're going to text them or call them, right? Like this is the 21st century. This is what people do. But yeah, as far as like the trade market negotiations and how that works, the Diamondbacks have had, I'm sure, many discussions about different trades in the last few days. Those discussions are being had. And Mike Hazen did talk about how the winter meetings, you know, even though because of the advances in technology, being in the same place doesn't mean what it used to. He did say that there is an element of just added urgency. Just being here in the same place, you know, particularly focusing on trying to get some of these deals underway. But I think there's just some more chips that need to fall, particularly in free agency, before teams are really going to be willing to explore what they can get in the trade market.
Any chance the bad Wi-Fi impacted the trade market?
You know, I'm told that the executives have slightly better Wi-Fi than what us media members
have. They have their own Wi-Fi network. To.
Yeah, and they also have access to the elusive Mike Hazen hotspot.
Aaron Judge was about to be a Diamondback, but the Wi-Fi didn't work.
Yeah,
so. $391 million.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's actually a very fair point to bring up. The San Diego Padres reportedly have offered several of these big names that have already signed contracts that were worth more money than what the player ultimately signed for. And there was a report from one rival executive, that was wondering where the hell San Diego keeps getting all of this money from. But what are the thoughts, since you're in San Diego, on the Padres not being able to land some of these players and honestly offering them bigger contracts than they signed?
So one interesting thing that I picked up on this topic recently, I don't know the exact number, but I did hear that it is at least possible that Aaron Judge would have made less money had he taken the San Diego Padres offer due to the difference in taxes. That's always a factor, right, when you're talking about a team in California, right? State taxes in California are higher than they are in a lot of other places. So I don't know if that was ultimately, you know, the deciding factor for him. I would have been really surprised, frankly, if Aaron Judge went anywhere other than back to New York. The fact of the matter is the Yankees need to get better, and losing Aaron Judge is a very, very poor start to getting better, right? Like you can't improve if you're losing a 10 war player. Like you need to keep that guy and add in addition to that. So I think this was always kind of the most likely outcome here. Yeah. But yeah, the San Diego Padres have been aggressive. I mean, 10 years, $400 million apparently is what they offered to Aaron Judge. They also offered reportedly about $340 million to Trey Turner, which is $40 million more than he ultimately took with the Philadelphia Phillies. So yeah, they're out there. They're being aggressive. There is some speculation that the fact that Manny Machado has an opt-out at the end of next season could be playing into this. Maybe the Padres are expecting to potentially lose Manny Machado, and so they're kind of hedging and trying to find another big-name free agent in case that happens. But with the way that their front office is willing to spend money right now, it's at least possible that the Padres could add another big-name free agent and retain, you know, Machado, Juan Soto, Fernando Tatis for the long haul. At this point, you have to at least consider that possibility.
We've talked a bit about the Diamondbacks being in pursuit of some free agents or possibly players by trade, and they seem to be kind of revolving around some catchers, right? So I guess it's hard not to feel like Carson Kelly's days behind the plate might be coming to an end, or that they might at least be trying to look to improve at catcher.
Yeah, and the thing with Carson Kelly is I think he's a very tradable player. So if the Diamondbacks did decide to go out there and get themselves a Sean Murphy or some other starting caliber catcher, I think it's likely they probably would trade Carson Kelly rather than using him as a backup because he will be valued by other teams. But yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to say that his days as the Diamondbacks everyday catcher are necessarily over, but it's absolutely something the Diamondbacks are very seriously considering. And it makes sense. Like there are just so few good catchers in baseball, right? We've talked about this in the past. I mean, Sean Murphy, according to Wins Above Replacement, was the third most valuable catcher in baseball this last year. Only JT Romuto and Adley Rutschman had more WAR according to FanGraphs, than Sean Murphy this last year. But after him and a few other guys, there's an enormous drop off. There's just not a lot of catchers who hit and can defend at this point. And so, you know, if you're looking for a way to really move the needle and really improve your team, going out and getting, you know, one of the better catchers in the game is a big way to do that, because you're going to have, you know, you're going to have a level of performance at catcher that very, very few teams around the league are able to replicate. So I think it's something they're looking at, but I'm not quite ready to say that Carson Kelly's days in Arizona are over just yet.
Brett Johnson asked, with Wilson Contreras off the board, you think they get more aggressive in the Sean Murphy market, or honestly, adding on to that, the catcher market in general?
Yeah, I mean, they might have to, right? Now that Wilson Contreras is off the board, you know, maybe teams start to look to the trade market a little bit more. And the Diamondbacks aren't the only team interested in Sean Murphy, right? I mean, there are maybe upwards of 10 teams right now that could be in the mix to try to trade for Sean Murphy. I think it's pretty clear that a deal is probably going to happen. The A's are probably going to deal him at some point. But yeah, it's going to be a bidding war. And so for the Arizona Diamondbacks to come out on top of that, I kind of looking at potential trade packages. I think maybe it starts with an Alec Thomas, and then maybe you look to add a Slade Ciccone, one of the Diamondbacks' mid-level pitching prospects. I think that could be a reasonable offer. But you also have to factor in the number of teams that want Sean Murphy. It could drive up the price substantially, and you might end up having to overpay a little bit, at least on paper.
Todd in the comments asked, if Kelly goes, that's another piece of the Goldschmidt trade gone. That's the entire
Andy Young gone. No longer here. Luke Weaver no longer here. Carson Kelly probably no longer here. He might still back up.
I will say the Diamondbacks did get a draft pick in that trade as well, which turned into Dominic Canzone. But interestingly, Dominic Canzone is one of the leading candidates to be selected in the Rule 5 draft, which is happening in about an hour and a half. So it's possible that he could move on as well.
Is there any package you could see being centered around Dominic Fletcher for any of these guys?
Not for Sean Murphy. I think it has to be Alec Thomas or Jake McCarthy, and more likely Alec Thomas would be my guess. I think Fletcher certainly has trade value, and it's possible the Diamondbacks could look to move him. It's a position they have plenty of depth in, obviously. So I think they could look to move Dominic Fletcher, but at that point, you're maybe looking more at getting a reliever rather than, you know, like an everyday starting caliber player. Yeah. I don't think Dominic Fletcher would fetch that in a trade all by himself.
This question is for everybody, but I'll start with White Hot Jesse. Will there be a sense of disappointment? And I guess you could say with the fan base or internally within the organization, if the Diamondbacks don't make a big move here. I mean, I know that there's no sense of urgency for them to do so. However, it does feel like they've kind of set us up to expect a big move, and it feels like internally they might be expecting that. So is it going to be viewed as like a missed opportunity if they don't end up doing something here to make a big splash?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question. Are we talking trade, or are we talking free agency, or just anything?
I guess anything to make this team better. Like, I understand that they're still going to pursue some bullpen arms and things like that, but it feels like things have kind of gravitated from we're going to look to improve the bullpen to we are looking to get this team better. Some of Hazen's comments seem to be centered around, like you said, kind of like maybe that stacking up at a certain position right now isn't the worst thing. So it kind of like it sounded a bit maybe like catcher or maybe like shortstop, that they might would end up with a surplus in those positions by bringing someone else on. But they're not afraid to do so because they're going to do whatever they can to make this team better.
I mean, I think like there are worse things in the world than keeping Alec Thomas and Jake McCarthy and Dalton Varsho, right? Like,
right.
That's not the worst thing in the world. In fact, I think there's a contingent of Diamondbacks fans that would prefer that. And
Chris is
honestly
one of them.
Kind of
Chris
terrified.
Just said, she said, this is stressful. I don't need a splash. I want my 133 lefty outfielders. Yes. Keep all of our left kings.
I think just given the gravity of some of the rumors that we've heard, right, now that you've heard Xander Bogaerts, the Diamondbacks, now that you've heard Sean Murphy, it's like, oh, man, like something big could be happening here. I think the D-backs are going to make some improvements this offseason that will move the needle in a fairly significant way. I would be pretty surprised if they didn't. you know, do more than just adding a couple of middle relievers and calling it good. I think there are still some pretty big things to come. So in that sense, I guess you could say it would be a disappointment. But I mean, if you're hanging your hat on Xander Bogaerts or Sean Murphy, I don't think you could justifiably say that it's a huge disappointment if those things don't happen, particularly Xander Bogaerts or signing some big name free agent. I don't think that's ever been realistic. And Sean Murphy's, you know, a great trade target, but I wouldn't necessarily say that it's a move the Diamondbacks absolutely have to make or anything. Sure. So not sure if I would be as disappointed on that front.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Xander Bogaerts thing has kind of put them in a weird situation in terms of like people thinking like, oh, they might be doing something more than we expected. But like, say you go sign Xander Bogaerts. I know that there's people here that would be like, I don't really know why you did that. I it would be exciting, sure. But then if you get halfway through the season and the bullpen is still blowing with like games, I'm going to be pissed off that you didn't do anything about the bullpen. So like,
it might
be like a cool thing that gets the fan base excited now if you go sign a big name. But if you don't also go fix the other problems, then it's not going to get you anywhere in the middle of the season. People are still going to get pissed off. So it would be cool if they were to sign a big name reliever or something like that. And then you kind of kill two birds with one stone in that regard. Then like, that would be cool. But like signing Xander Bogaerts, sure. But none of the problems with this team have been fixed at that point.
You have a leaky roof and you bought a new refrigerator.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, okay, yeah. the refrigerator was old. The refrigerator was old. Sure. But we're about to not have a house.
Yeah, the roof is like, literally
there's a
leaking.
Hole in the roof. What are we doing? So it would be cool, but you have to fix the actual problems. It'd be cool for a casual, but like I think the real fans are still going to be like,
"What are we doing here? What are like, we going to do still for the seventh, eighth, and
ninth exactly.
Here.
Right. If they're going to go out and spend this this prospect capital, I'd rather them spend it on things that they're filling holes with, right? Yeah, like, it is really hard to trade one of these five outfield kids.
It absolutely is.
However, that is just the reality of what you're in because you might want to keep them all, but you're not going to see them all. Like, if you want to see these kids play on a day-to-day basis, you got to get rid of a couple of them, right? So you got to choose which ones you think are best for your long-term future. And then from there, you then go evaluate their availability on the market and see what you can go get for them because you have other issues elsewhere.
I can't agree with you more. And here's the thing is Jesse wrote an article about this a while back. The Diamondbacks historically have always had a bad bullpen. It's wild because you would just think in general that there would be years where their bullpen was better. There were guys. They had someone. There was some, you know. It's always been fucking trash. And that's the problem is they need to finally address that. We've seen in the playoffs how important, how big that was for certain teams. We also saw how powerful some of these bullpens were. You had multiple guys going in there and throwing over 100 miles an hour in one bullpen. That's in general is going to be the thing that wins games for you more than a potent offense, to be honest.
And to the big name thing, like the bullpen needs to get fixed. You go sign, even if you were going to sign one big name reliever, like the bullpen still blew like 40 games or whatever it was last year. Like there is a lot that needs to be done. And you look at like shortstop, sure, Xander would be cool, but it's not a position you necessarily need to fix right now.
Right.
And then catchers, they've been now tied to Murphy. If you don't get him, there's other catchers available. Like Christian Vasquez is still a free agent, for example.
Right.
It's not, people might be disappointed because, we didn't get that guy we were tied to, but there are other options there.
You talked about Gabriel Moreno through the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, Toronto Blue Jays have three catchers that they might get rid of.
They are in the same position we are.
But with catchers outfield, instead of, yeah.
Right? So it makes sense for a deal to be done between those teams. But Jesse, we thank you so much for finding this fantastic high definition internet connection.
White hot,
Jesse Friedman. But remember, we're all going to be disappointed in you if you don't bring us back a big name. So we're counting on you. Don't let us down.
I'm just saying, I'll just stay in San Diego, and I'll have absolutely no problem with that.
Make sure you send us
not a threat.
You have your sick RAV4 there, so I know you're going to be fine.
I do have my sick RAV4, and Torrey Lovello is also here in town. Unfortunately, I don't believe there are any salad and goes.
No, there's no salad and goes. I knew where he was going with that.
I win again, Jesse Friedman.
You Let's did it go. With those graphics. Those graphics of those tweets that were shown earlier. I have to speak on this real quick. Can we get the tweet that was allegedly from me on the screen again? Because I have a series.
Oh, yeah. You're muted. Suck it, Jesse.
You have nothing to say because we can't hear you, Jesse.
Gosh, am I unmuted now? Can you guys?
There you are. You're back.
Okay, I'm back. I'm back. All right. So first of all, like, what's going on with the font here? Like, that's not.
I was furious about the font, Jesse. They did a terrible job with the font.
And then
second, hey, I didn't have anything to do with it.
Secondly, we have hashtag Academy Awards with a space in between, which is not how Twitter works. Yeah. You can have hashtag Academy. Yeah. Wouldn't really make any sense.
I told you.
There can't be a space there. So, let's not forget I made these
in about 5 minutes.
You don't burn Jesse and expect the feedback. All right. Jesse is going to have ample feedback when it comes to this.
Not only the thunder stick, it is a white hot thunder stick. Yeah. He's coming for you.
He is.
I watched Jesse mess around with some cameras last night. The technological standpoint, let's just say I wouldn't be surprised if that actually was him.
He's definitely arson judge right now, though. That's for sure. So, all right, white hot Jesse, we appreciate you and go have some fun. Don't bother Scott Boras too much, but let him know we want Zach Gallen back.
Please.
All right. Sounds good. I'll let him know.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
See you, Jesse.
Tell Tori I miss him. All right.
Jesse's like, Derek, you're taking too long. Yeah, you need to wrap it up.
I'm just standing here looking like a fool. But, of course, he's not. He's got that blue blazer on. He looks great. But
clean.
Can't go white hot thunderstick.
White hot thunderstick. Yep, that's what we're going with. You take it out ever you want to take that. But, of course, we thank you guys for being here. Of course. You acted like that was gross. Look, you take it how you want to take it.
You take that white hot thunderstick the way you want.
Anyway, we're going to wrap it up on that. I have nothing more to add, but you can follow us all on Twitter. I'm not even giving you his at. He doesn't get at. He's dying.
Jacob_Frank.
Sean DePaz over here.
Two followers away from 500. I'm two away.
Let's make that happen. There. And then I'll unfollow him just to infuriate him more once he hits it.
I get that screenshot, though, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I'm at Cap_Caveman. AdReads. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. You're right, AdReads. I forgot AdReads. I blame Jesse for that, but it's also because I did want to say.
Distracted by the white hot thunderstick.
Yeah, that's really what did it. The best thing I ever did was upgrading my office. A year ago, it's almost the anniversary of me upgrading my office. It was a horrible process. I never knew how difficult it was really going to be to switch out a room that I had had my stuff in for 10 years with my daughter, who lived in her room literally for her entire life. However, I will say it is the best thing I ever did. So make sure you get yourself some new furniture. You make yourself a special space in your home over at More Furniture. Right now, the holiday clearance event is happening at morefurniture.com, and you can save up to 50%. Also, it's gift giving season, and you know that there are people on your list that you still have to shop for. You have no idea what you're going to get them. Go over to the Four Peaks Brewing Company, 8th Street Pub. Give the gift of beer this holiday season. You can get them still right now. Give it to them early. They still have limited supplies of their December Advent calendar box for $55. Enjoy a incredible variety of beers, tall boys, and more.
The best part of the Advent calendar now, you get it. It's the 7th. You got 7 beers to get through. Mm-hmm.
That's where you start off with. It's 7
beers. I think our office might be one day behind, too.
I'm going to have to rectify that myself. But anyway, purchase this at their 8th Street Pub in Tempe. And of course, if you can't get down there to get the Advent calendar box, you could still give the gift of beer wherever you get your beer at your local grocery store. Make sure to enjoy responsibly. 21 and over only. Again, back to the outro. Is there anything else I needed to do? Are we good?
Producer Leah, are we good?
Are we good, Leah?
Yeah, we're good. Also, muting Jesse, that was totally on purpose to cut him off.
Well done. Well done. That's why you're my favorite. Anyway, this guy, he's Jacob_Franklin4. This guy's at Sean, is it underscore to pause?
Yes, it is.
It is underscore to pause. I'm at Cap_Caveman. Jesse's at Jesse N. Friedman, but he's never coming back. He is staying in San Diego forever. Our show is at PHNX_DBacks, but of course, all roads lead to at PHNX_sports. You're not supposed to hit me in the back of the head. I feel your hands on my head. But all roads lead to at PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thank you guys so much for being here. This got really weird really fast. On behalf of all of these clowns, we thank you guys so much for joining us. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you watch it with your friends.
Mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.